There's lots of uncertainty in our country at the moment, isn't there? We've got a federal election coming up this Saturday, and there's been lots of talk around all the bad things that'll happen if one party or the other is elected into power. Both of the major parties seem to be encouraging people to vote for them out of fear. Fear of what will happen if they vote for the other party. There's also lots of uncertainty in our world. Just last week, Palestinian militants from Gaza fired 690 rockets into Israel, killing four people. In response, Israelis carried out airstrikes, killing 20 Palestinians. And after things being fairly stable for a while, tensions between North Korea and the US seem to be rising again. But as Christians, we don't need to lose any sleep or spend too much time thinking about all the uncertainty in our world and in our own country. Because our God is on the throne. He's the one who ultimately rules the world. And he's in control of everything that happens in it. Let's look at our key text for this morning, which is Psalm 47:8. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. God rules the world. Now, the first thing we're going to consider is this. God is sovereign over everything. God is sovereign over everything. Let's look at Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything. Everything that happens in this world, even the tiniest details, happens according to God's will. God is sovereign over everything. He doesn't just know everything that happens. He plans everything that happens. He knows what's going to happen because he planned what's going to happen. This is a great comfort to us as Christians. Everything that happens in our lives happens according to God's perfect plan for us. And we have this wonderful promise in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What a wonderful comfort that is. In all things, God works for our good. He works everything together for our good. Everything. God is sovereign over everything. But even though God is the sovereign ruler of all things, he's also appointed other rulers who rule under his authority to accomplish his purposes. So the second thing we're going to consider is this. The devil rules under God's authority. The devil rules under God's authority. Let's look at 1 John 5:19. We know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil has lots of power in this world. He blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel. They're under the devil's control. This means the majority of people in this world are under the devil's control. That's a lot of power, isn't it? The devil has plenty of rule in this world, but it's all under God's authority. There's nothing he can do without God's permission. He's completely under God's authority. The clearest example of this is in the book of Job. Satan says to God that Job only loves him because he's blessed him with great wealth. And then Satan says this to God in chapter 1, verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And God responds in verse 12 by saying, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Even with all his power, Satan couldn't do a single thing to Job without God's permission. In fact, Satan even says to God, stretch out your hand and strike everything Job has. And then God gives Satan permission to do this, but says he's not allowed to lay even a finger on Job himself. This is an excellent example of how Satan rules in this world. He has lots of power, but it's completely under God's authority. The devil can do absolutely nothing without God's permission. This is a great comfort to us as Christians. We shouldn't fear the devil at all, because he's completely under God's control. The only one we should fear is God. And we should fear him with a holy fear, a reverent awe, knowing he's our Father who loves us. So the devil has plenty of rule in this world, but he rules under God's authority. Now the third thing we're going to consider is this. Governments rule under God's authority. Governments rule under God's authority. Let's look at Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Every government is appointed by God, even bad ones. There have been many governments throughout history that have persecuted and killed God's people. There are still many governments in the world today that persecute and kill Christians. But even these governments rule under God's authority. They can't do a single thing without his sovereign permission. We know our own government is drifting further and further away from God. And as a result, persecution of Christians is likely to increase. But we shouldn't lose any sleep over this. We shouldn't lose any sleep this Saturday night, worrying about who's going to be elected into power. Our God is on the throne. The government that's appointed on Saturday night will be appointed according to God's sovereign will. So governments have plenty of rule in this world, but they rule under God's authority. Now the fourth thing we're going to consider is this. We rule under God's authority. We rule under God's authority. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God made us as human beings to rule over his creation under his authority. God wanted us to rule the world under him and to do it willingly and joyfully. He wanted us to enjoy his creation and thank him for it. But we decided that we didn't want to rule the world under God's authority. We wanted to rule it under our own authority. We wanted to be God and be the ultimate rulers of the world. And that, in a nutshell, is why this world's in such a mess. Because of our sin. Because of our rejection of God's authority. But even as sinful human beings, we still have rule in this world. We still have plenty of power to enjoy God's creation and build things and eat things and destroy things and even destroy people. We still have plenty of power to do good and evil in God's world. But just like the devil and governments, we can't do a single thing without God's sovereign permission, because everything happens according to God's will. No one can do anything outside of his will. Now, there's a tension here, and if we're not feeling it, then we're not thinking about it enough. What about all the evil in this world? How can that be God's will? How can God plan evil? This is something that we, in our finite minds, can't fully understand. It's a tension we have to live with. But the Bible does answer this question, although not in a way that resolves the tension. Here's how God answers the question for us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Romans 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And let's go back to Job. Throughout the book, Job's struggling with why all these terrible things are happening to him. And he begins to question God's goodness and justice. And this is how God answers him in chapter 38, verses 2 to 4. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Then God goes on for several chapters explaining in detail how he's God and Job's not. As far as we know, Job never found out about God and Satan's conversation and how God had given Satan permission to make Job suffer in such a terrible way. God never answered Job's question in that sense. Job never found out why. But God did give Job the answer he needed to hear. God is God. And this is Job's response in chapter 42, verses 2 to 6. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job acknowledges God's absolute sovereignty. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job realized he'd sinned in questioning God's goodness and justice. He realized he spoke about things he didn't understand, things too wonderful for him to know. He finally realized God is God and he's not. That he has no right to question the Almighty, the sovereign ruler of the world. How can a God who is infinitely good and perfectly righteous plan evil? This is something that, like Job, we can't fully understand. It's beyond the capacity of our finite minds to understand. So the answer the Bible gives us to a question like this is God, and we're not. And God asks us to trust him. He's told us he's infinitely good and perfectly righteous, and he's shown us so clearly by sending his only son to die for us. So do we believe him or not? When something comes along like us struggling to understand how God can plan evil, do we trust him or not? I think it's perfectly rational to believe there are things our finite minds can't understand, but God's infinite mind can understand. Our finite minds trying to understand how God can plan evil is a little bit like a newborn baby trying to understand algebra. They just don't have the capacity. But does this mean algebra isn't true because infants can't understand it? Of course not. There are many things God understands that we can't understand. We just don't have the capacity. But God asks us to trust him. And he's given us plenty of reasons to trust him, including sending his only son to suffer and die for our sins, so he could save us from his righteous judgment, and so we could live with him and enjoy him forever. If we're ever tempted to question God's goodness or justice, then we need to remember the cross, because it's God's greatest display of his goodness and also his justice. Now, the final thing we're going to consider is this. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. Let's look at our key text again. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. God rules the world. He is on the throne. As we've already seen, God isn't the only ruler in this world. He's appointed other rulers. The devil rules under God's authority. Governments rule under God's authority, and we rule under God's authority. But God is the ultimate ruler. Ultimately, he rules the world. He is on the throne of the universe. Everything happens according to his sovereign will. And every other ruler is under his authority. God is the sovereign ruler of all things. And isn't that incredibly comforting, brothers and sisters? Our God is on the throne. He rules the world. And he's promised to work everything together for our good. So if our government eventually ends up killing Christians for their faith, how can that possibly be for our good? Because the greatest possible good for us as Christians is to be with our God, and death would make that happen. That's why for 2,000 years throughout the world, Christians have endured being persecuted and killed for their faith, because this world's not our home. Our home is in heaven with God. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1:21 that death is gain. God rules the world. He is on the throne. And let me close by giving you one more reason why this is wonderfully comforting, by reading Paul's words from 2 Timothy 4:18, which he wrote not long before he was killed by the government, who for being a Christian. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you that you are on the throne, that you rule this world, that you are in control of everything that happens in it, even the tiniest details, even the most minute things, that you have planned everything out in detail. Nothing catches you by surprise. Everything happens in accordance with your purposes, your plans from eternity past. And Father, we praise you that you chose by your grace to save us, that you chose us to be your people so that you could promise us that you'd work everything together for our good. That is such a wonderful comfort in a world where there is so much evil, where there is so much sin, where there is so much rejection of you, to know that you are working even those things together for the good of us, your people, is such a wonderful comfort. Father, we know that we have to vote on Saturday. Father, I pray that you'd give us wisdom to know who to vote for. But Father, please help none of us to lose any sleep over who is elected. Because at the end of the day, you decide who is elected. And that government, whichever it is, will accomplish your purposes for our country. So, Father, please comfort us with that wonderful reality that you are good, that you are kind, that you are gracious, that you sent your own Son, your only Son, to suffer and die for us, to make us your people. And so that this world wouldn't be our home anymore. We're not living for the here and now. We're living for the life to come. Our home is with you in heaven. Father, we pray that you might take us there soon by your grace, that you would send the Lord Jesus back to take us to be with you, even this very day. We pray all these things through him. Amen.